Oh, I'm not laughing at your expense. I'm laughing to your credit.
Oh. Greetings, Apropossi, and buckle up for the sex. It's the Apropos of Nothing podcast.
With your hosts,
Salsa.
And James.
Yep. Just us.
Boys night!
Just a bunch of white dudes talking. Because that's what everybody wants in a podcast, is
my
a bunch
wildest
of white
dreams.
Dudes talking.
Jesus. Yeah. That was the original title of the podcast. Before. And then Pete Best left. But I listened to all of those episodes.
I don't know why. Anyway, what you drinking?
Tonight I am drinking Bent Paddle Barrel Aged Extra Baked Stout with chocolate, coconut, and vanilla. So let's
there's
this
a
little,
whole lot going on in that title. There better be that much going on in the flavor.
You know, Salsa, I might recommend this. Ooh, I might recommend this. Yeah, just rolling that around in there. Yeah. Ooh, daddy. All right. Yeah, that's pretty good.
You were going with a recommendation?
That is a tasty beer.
All right.
Yeah.
Good on you. I am drinking Burning Brothers Brewing.
Heard of them.
I am drinking their Black Pepper Porter.
Ooh, dang. That sounds delightful.
And then after I drink this, I shall tell you a tale.
Thereby hangs a salsa. It's the tail that some people are born with, the vestigial.
It's pretty fantastic.
Thereby hangs a vestigial.
It's a fairly standard porter.
Okay.
And then, just kind of on the back end of it, you kind of get the little black peppery, spicy notes. That if you didn't tell me what it was, I would sit there going, what is that? But yeah, it's pretty nice. Pretty nice. All right.
Yeah. Delightful.
Very much so. So, but as promised, a tale follows along with this. So, going many, many years back, I have been friends with one of the co-founders of Burning Brothers for 20 some years now. He used to be a fire eater out at the Renaissance Festival. I've known him for years. Mm-hmm. We've eaten fire together. We've performed together. All this other stuff. So when he became a brewery 7 years ago, you know,
when he himself became a brewery,
Not only did I know him through that, but Second Best Brewery, the group, Second Best Brewing, the group in which we did Febtoberfest, we were kind of the group that he, you know, tried a lot of flavors out on us and you know, got our advice on us, and we were kind of the ones propping him up and saying, yes, you should do this brewery thing. And but anyway, all that's to say, you know, I've known him for a long time. Anyway, yeah. Burning Brothers turned
before
Burning Brothers cool. turned 7 years old a few days ago.
Jesus.
And so for their 7 year event, they released some new merchandise. Some of that new merchandise includes new shirts. They had a contest to have people help them design these new shirts. And I said, why not? I'll give that a go. Yeah. I like them. I've designed.
Do you have any experience making t-shirts?
I've designed a few shirts in my day. I'm not going to say they're best sellers, but I have sold some.
Of the things that you've sold, some of them are the best.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
So I've made a couple shirts. I was like, I'll give this a go. I'll throw my name in there. I have a concept. I'll throw my hat in the ring. We'll see what happens. Well, anyway.
Yeah.
I get an email on Thursday.
Ooh.
Saying, congratulations, you won. The design, the shirt that I designed, it's not exactly the same shirt. You know, they weren't like, we're going to take your design, but but your design was concept. The inspiration for the design that we ultimately went with. You know,
gotcha.
We just need ideas, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to make you be the artist. But my design was one that, mm-hmm. that inspired them, you know, to create one of their new shirt designs.
Beautiful.
And so I won. And so I had to keep that under my hat for a couple days, but then on Saturday morning, 7-year Burning Brothers event, they announce it. I'm the wiener. So I get it, in addition to having a shirt designed, you know, based on a design I came up with, I also got a free membership to their 2021 Ooh. Beer club.
Oh.
And their beer club is just basically, like, discounts on things, primarily. You know, there's a couple perks mm-hmm. here and there, but it's mostly discounts. So we decide to take the family out there, because, not only have I known him, but my wife has known him for longer than I have, and he's known the kids since they were born. You know, so we're like, we'll all go, we'll make a day of it. So mm-hmm. Burning Brothers, for those who don't know, is a entirely gluten-free brewery. They it's not that they make, you know, beer and then chemically scrub the gluten out of it. No, it's...
Which is the weird taste that a lot of people get
exactly.
from regular gluten-free beer.
It's
yeah.
the my friend is celiac, so
mm-hmm.
they nothing gluten. He's celiac, and both he and his friends have worked in... as chefs in kitchens and stuff like that. So they have a lot of flavor, you know, knowledge. And so they're like, when they're brewing, they take a lot of that experience and put it together and make some really interesting flavors. And then they brew beer entirely without gluten. And it's really, really good beer. It's not good gluten-free beer. It's just straight up good beer. So for this event, they had the food truck, Auntie M's,
Sure.
Which is really, really good stuff. It's a gluten-free food truck. They had gluten-free corn mm-hmm. dogs and funnel cakes and stuff like that. Yeah, the kids loved...
God
the
dang.
Kids were just going through the funnel cakes and the corn dogs like mad.
Yeah.
Their cheese curds, mwah, super good.
Fuck.
But
I just ate. I made... I'll talk about it later.
Okay.
I just made dinner, and my mouth is watering.
It's really good.
Absolute bastard.
But, so I go, you know, the kids, we sit, mm-hmm. they sit down, and they have their food and some root beer, and I go inside the brewery, actually, you know, into the tap room, and I buy my shirt, you know, that I inspired.
Yeah.
Because, of course, I would, and I bought a couple growlers, one of them being this black pepper porter. The other one I picked up was their coffee ale, which is really, really good. But the other thing I got was their brand new beer that they debuted at this event.
Oh.
They made, in conjunction with Blue Sun Soda Shop...
Dang.
They made a beer out of Blue Sun Soda. They made a blue raspberry sour. And it was amazing.
Fuck, that sounds amazing.
It's fucking good.
Shit.
So goddamn good. Not too sour.
Okay.
Not too sour, right. Just got it's got a not nice tang to it, but it's not pucker sour. Your face. It's got the raspberry is nice and gentle. Mm-hmm. It's not that really ripe raspberry. It's kind of that like that soothing, you know, like raspberry.
Real raspberry versus like 80s Roland synthesized.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. It's a nice smooth raspberry. Yeah.
Not neon raspberry.
Right. And so it's not like the raspberry flavor that you get in a lot of raspberry flavored things. You know, it's got that raspberry of actual raspberry flavor in there. So good. So good. Could not find a flaw with it. Delicious. Absolutely delicious. Unfortunately couldn't get a growler of that because they debuted it that day. Otherwise I would have, because that was really fucking good.
Shit.
But then we had a fantastic time there. Just hanging out, seeing people that we knew and enjoyed all, you know, mm-hmm. from 6 feet away. mm-hmm. You know, unfortunately due to things going on, their event had to be very spread out, and so, you know, a lot of their tables were set up in like their back lot, which was, you know, asphalt with broken glass and shit on it, but which is unfortunate, but that's the situation.
Impromptu
we live
space
in.
Wise, it's not the worst.
Yeah. But just being able to see things, see people, and talk to them, and kind of catch up with their where they are in their lives, all while celebrating a really fantastic beer. And toasting my friend's success in this world it was really, really fun. It was a good time. And the fact that I won all didn't hurt at all.
Just sweeten that deal a little.
Didn't hurt at all. And so now I've got my little fancy Burning Brothers Beer Club keychain, and I got the Beer Club growlers. Like, the growlers themselves say Beer Club on them.
Oh
yeah, you get the fancy growler.
They're extra fancy.
Yeah.
What privileges does the beer club convey?
Well, like I said, it's mostly discounts on like it's okay. Like when if
you, I didn't know if you got like a other than well, I guess you've been listing like special keychains, special growlers.
Well the keychain is basically your membership card.
Yeah.
It's a bottle opener keychain. And that is just your membership card. That way, you don't have to look up your number in a system and make you know. It's just like show us the keychain, and we'll know that you're somebody who gets the discount.
Nice.
But it's a bottle opener too, which is great. But it's just like you get a dollar off of drinks when you're in the brew pub, you know, things like that. So, merchandise, like 10% off merchandise or something like
that. Oh, that's damn decent.
It definitely is, but, that is my story of winning a design contest and getting lots of beer because of it.
That's fucking awesome.
I saw that.
Yeah, Jenna, what have you been drinking?
I saw that on the internet. I attempted to make myself... Hi, everybody, I'm here.
Hi, Dr. Nick.
A white Russian with almond milk, and that curdled real quick. I did not do that. Instead, I have cranberry juice with pomegranate liqueur. Pomegranate liqueur.
Kind of fucking awesome.
It's so deliciously fruity and tart and amazing. I love it.
I'm drinking something that you absolutely don't want.
Oh?
Yeah, it's a barrel-aged stout with coconut.
Oh.
And vanilla and chocolate, but...
You're like, it's a stout. I'm like, well, of the beers, like...
Of the beers, yeah, no, it's...
You're a stout, and then you're like...
This still has, like, a little hoppiness to it.
Of course it does, it's a beer.
Yeah. Hoppiness, yeah.
How are you guys doing?
We're getting started. Yeah.
Interrupted.
No, it's okay. I was just we hadn't gotten really far. I was just talking about the 7-year anniversary of Burning Brothers and the award that I won there. there.
It's excellent.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll post a picture of the shirt.
I was going to ask, yeah.
Good.
Where can people go to see this and buy it so that they can say, I know the guy.
Well, they can buy it at the Burning Brothers brewery itself, but there is a burningbros.com, I think it is.
Burningbrosbrew.com. Oh, that's a challenge.
Burn Bros Brew.
Burn Bros Brew.
Burn Bros
Brew. Okay, that's
brew.
Less of a challenge. Why Burn is Bros that
brew.
Easier?
Burn Bros Brew. Burn Bros Brew. Burn Bros Brew. Nope.
Like for Robbie Burns Night?
No.
No? Maybe. Okay, maybe. Yeah.
Isn't that normally scotch for Robbie Burns Night?
Yes.
Yep. Yeah, so they beer, not scotch.
Or scotch ale?
Maybe.
That's a different thing.
But yeah. It's... I recommend if you go to the brewery itself, they also have a little bodega where they sell a bunch of gluten-free stuff. They've got
Plus, bodega's fun to say.
They've got gluten-free pizzas and gluten-free...
Yeah.
All sorts of stuff all in the shop, you know.
I'm about this. People that I date who are gluten-free have had an excellent time there and very much appreciated knowing that functionally anything that might tantalize their taste buds would be okay for them.
This is the one time where I'm like, no, I don't want it.
No, yeah.
There's so many other things that I can't have that I'm give me your gluten. This is where I win.
Friends, Romans, countrymen, lend me your gluten.
But honestly, I'd hang out there just for the people.
Yeah.
And maybe eat gluten in front of the ones that I spike.
Jesus. Just bring a loaf of bread and just stand outside, pressed against the window. Just... Oh, that's Jenna for you.
Eating finding bread out of spite.
Finding comedy in bread. There you go. Eating the comedy out of a loaf of bread. Jesus.
Don't say eating out.
Good God.
Man.
Or if you are going to say eating out, lean into it.
Yeah, you can't.
If you're eating out, you should lean into it.
Eating out that.
I feel like you should get a fucking snorkel and make a day of it. If the water is good, you dive in head first.
Yep. Into that muff.
You can get Joe a snorkel.
Into that muff.
Oh, okay.
I'm just going to get Joe a snorkel, and he's going to be like,
what's
this?
He's not going
to
know why.
He's going to be like, you don't listen to the podcast.
They got muff. They got blueberry muff and raspberry muff and lemon poppy seed muff.
Well, be careful about eating lemon poppy seed muff before you take a drug test. Rumor has it that it will.
Look, if you got to take a drug test to work there, then they're bougie and you don't want to work there.
Kind of true. Yeah, a little true.
Because that's dumb. That's
maybe
dumb.
They just want to know
it's
who has
dumb.
The good stuff.
I suppose.
That's fair.
Yeah, if you do get the job and the next day the boss is like, so...
you going to bring those lemon poppy seed muffins in, or what?
I've been looking for a good source of poppy seed
muffins. Bagels.
Yes.
Yeah. Audible air quotes.
And I understand you've got the connections there.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
I might know a guy. That guy is me. So there's that.
One last thing. So I went to pick out my shirt, and they had the two little cubbies of shirts there, and I like.
Are you a size salsa or a size extra salsa?
Yes. So I look at the top one, and it's a small. And I look at the bottom one in the top cubby, and it's a medium. So I was like, okay, this is a small medium. And I look in the bottom cubby, and the top one's an XL.
Uh-huh.
And then I'm like, oh, okay, I guess they must be out of large. So I, you know, bring an XL over to the counter, you know, to the little counter. And he's ringing me up, and I'm like, are you already out of larges? You know? And he goes... Mm-hmm. Oh, good. No, we got those today. We just open the box and put them there, so you might have to dig. They're not in order. So yeah, they were just completely random. So you no, they just
Rando
arrived.
Cardrician.
They just arrived.
Sure.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So
nice.
Hot off the presses. Yeah. What about you guys? What about you individuals?
I'm a little bit delayed because I was doing tech through for Die Laughing.
Oh yeah, the Klingon thing.
Oh buddy. Oh, they were all. I'm real glad we did a tech through. yeah, yeah, there were. Well, there's always unexpected surprises with.
Yeah. So, like, otherwise, we have Tim banging on a drum and no one could fucking hear it.
Bang a gun, get
out. Oddly, one of the things that we tested was Tim's ability to. that is actively a thing that we were doing with our tech.
That's awesome.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So, anyway. This is what makes us more professional than vilification tennis. That and
don't let that be the only thing.
Yeah. But yeah, so we did the tech through, and there were just random things that popped up that like surprised us, but also didn't surprise us. We were like, oh, well, that's not what we expected. Well, we better do something about that then. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we made sure that all the techs had the appropriate access and the streaming and everything else.
Good.
And it was oddly similar to a regular rehearsal tech, where for chunks of it, there were just people sitting around waiting on the techs.
Good.
Should have told the extras to bring a book, because, yeah. I mean, they had a computer right in front of them.
That makes
still,
me a little happy, yeah. Bring an e-book. Get with the times.
Yeah, just bring your tablet. But my computer's right here. Shh, I said bring a tablet.
Did I stutter? Yeah.
So, yeah, did tech for Die Laughing, and I think we've got processes in place and things figured out. I can't wait to see what we forgot. Y'all should log in and watch us and find out.
Fuck. I mean, we've got plenty of time. It's like a month away, isn't it?
Oh, shit.
God,
fuck's sake, man.
Oh. Salsa.
Yes.
Die Laughing is this coming weekend.
This coming weekend?
Tom.
No. Oh,
not yet, James.
No.
Not dead.
James, no.
I'll give you the signal.
Sorry. Oh, okay. Yeah, just give us the high sign. I'm ready.
Okay.
Let's back up. Let's try again. This coming weekend.
.com.
No, goddamn.
Flushy Push Marshalades.
All right.
It.com.
Wait, okay.
Somebody get that domain quick. And redirect it to dielaughingmarathon.com.
.com. Professionals. All right. This is why we don't hawk coffee anymore.
Do you know how much sleep I haven't gotten? Do you know how much? Mm. I honestly, as a Saturday night, Joe and I did a fire in the backyard because Joe was like, Jenna, you need some chill.
Yes.
You need to chill.
Yeah.
Let's do a fire. Let's hang out. Let's chat. And it was wonderful. Yeah. And I had two bottles of wine.
That a girl.
Yeah.
One was too few and three was too many.
Yeah, I know. It was just shy of two bottles of wine. But I had a lot. And sure. I was like, I'm not tired, but like we ran out of wood to burn.
Mm-hmm.
So he was like, well, let's go in. I'll take a quick shower. Cause he doesn't like having wood smoke on him. Some people do. Some people don't. I love it. He doesn't.
I absolutely adore it.
Yeah. That is the only thing that the booth is missing for me is,
a good campfire
fire pit. Yeah.
I'm like, that's fine. So he's like, I'll take a shower quick and then maybe we can watch some TV. And I was like, that sounds great. And I, like, it was almost as soon as he hit the shower, I went, oh, I need to go pass out now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, like, he gets out of the shower and I'm just passed out in the bed.
And there's just like, a dead Jenna there.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I guess we're not watching more of that show. All right.
Nope.
Jenna sat down and was like, I'm not that tired. And then it was 2 days later.
Seriously.
Time travel.
So good. Oh, it was amazing. I was dead to the fucking world. It was glorious.
That does sound good.
Yeah, but pretty much every other time, like, I've just, like, spotty sleep, waking up before my alarm, which is bullshit.
It's almost like you're already at the event.
Oh, God.
It's going to be a very different experience this year, but we were talking about...
It really is.
In a group, we were talking about how to, like, what people are going to do. Get more.
Yeah, I said I was going to set up
a cot. I'm going to go set up a cot in my basement.
Set up a cot in my basement, and yeah.
I don't think I'm going to set up a cot, but I am just going to make sure that I have sandwich fixings. I'm going to buy a bunch of dairy that I can't have and have it in the green space.
Sounds like a good plan.
Yeah, just so that I get the full
feel,
effect.
Yeah.
And as I do every year, I will take what's left of the last loaf of bread and whatever dairy Jenna hasn't eaten.
Yeah.
It's tradition.
I'm probably going to... I don't know. I think I'm declaring my bedroom the pink room so I can just go disappear in the pink room. Oh, I'm going to make a mess. I'm going to bring in a bunch of other people's stuff and just toss it around my apartment.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Make sure that you tape down squares.
Oh, yeah.
We got to
for them to completely fucking ignore.
No,
yeah.
I need to spike. Mm-hmm. Just put spike strips down on the floor.
Yep. Salsa, I'm going to recommend that you put up a small whiteboard and then designate what part of your basement is for whose cot.
And just have my wife come
and,
down
and
at
what
5
time
a.m.
you want to be awakened. Yeah, for your show.
Dear listeners, welcome to the chaos behind the chaos.
Yeah.
Like a regular die laughing.
Oh, God.
Oh, shit. I kind of. Part of me wants
to. Yeah, if anybody ever touches my shoulder while I'm asleep at die laughing, I know that either I'm about to put something awful in my body or the website is down.
Yeah.
One or the other.
Rin just randomly wake you up.
Yeah, that's. I mean. As is tradition.
Part of me wants to do this just because it would be funny, and part of me wants to be able to sleep in a bed.
Salsa, when have any of us ever done anything strictly for the comedy?
I know, but the thing is literally the only person that would be amused is myself, which is not a reason
not to do it. Right? That only we will enjoy.
I wonder how much my wife is going to hate me.
Yeah. Like, I want to, like, 90% of the jokes that I tell, Salsa, are just for me. And, like, if someone else digs on it, great.
Hold on. Only 90?
At least 90.
Okay, that's fair.
There you go.
That is fair.
Yeah.
I accept this.
Mm-hmm.
And then I need snoring sound effects.
Yeah, we were discussing that. Because I think it was Eric was like, I'm going to have to put up a cot next to my bed. And then Bree was like, yeah, and then you have to make your bed snore so loud that you can't sleep without earplugs. Fuck. Yeah. Glorious.
We have a good time backstage at Die Laughing,
oh,
y'all.
Oh, yeah.
Really do.
It is. It's glorious.
Go ahead.
I want to give our listeners a little bit more context because some people don't actually ever get to go to the venue to see Die Laughing. They can only see it on the stream, which is how everybody's doing it this year. God damn it.
Yeah. We don't get to see the venue this year.
I know. But so when we're at the venue, the Phoenix Theater is wonderful. They have several different rooms that allow us to essentially spend the entire weekend at the venue so that we can make things go the entire weekend at the venue.
And the biodome of comedy.
So when you have 75 members in your theater company,
and only 20 of them are sleeping together.
When you have 75 members of your theater company and you are producing a 50-hour comedy marathon, and most people have to be there for some reason or another, what you end up with is basically a comedy halfway house. You just got...
I like to think of it as summer camp.
I mean...
No.
You're not the counselor, though. So, to me...
Oh, God.
No, you're right. I'm not the counselor.
No, I'm pretty sure I am.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I need to get a whistle. No, I don't. I might get khaki shorts and a polo shirt, though, just for the gag. And a clipboard.
If you want a clipboard, you can have a clipboard.
All right.
Yes. And a lab coat, as is tradition.
It really is just... if anything looks like it's running smooth on stage, it probably isn't off. because there's just so much going on. Mm-hmm. The fact that we do as well as we do every year is a testament to people's actual ability to do theater in focus, and also just to fucking sheer willpower.
There is just like, an ant's nest of activity happening underneath the stage, literally, when things are going on.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Because many of us roll in on Friday morning and do not leave until...
Or 5 minutes after opening.
And do not leave until damn near midnight on Sunday night. We are there the entire time. And it's just, there is a warren of rooms and tunnels below that building that are being used constantly.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fucking astounding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway...
The ballet of comedy
and
occurring.
And that's not happening this year. It's all going to be digital.
Well, it's happening, but it's different. It's happening, but it's different. And that's okay. I do look forward to a time when I will have people there to comfort me physically regarding my Malort poisoning, but...
No, this is what I need to do. I need to set up a cot in the basement, and then I need to stay awake for a really long time, and then at 3 a.m. on Sunday morning, I need to wake up and talk for 2 hours into a microphone.
Okay.
And chug Malort with beef sticks.
Yes. That is the die laughing experience.
You have
this is the way. The weird thing is, like, salsa, if you...
No, James.
Honestly, do that.
James, I would do anything for comedy, but I won't do Malort.
Yes. Okay. Oh, I was going to say, if you honestly do this.
No, I won't even do Malort for comedy.
Okay. All right. Okay. Yeah. I'm excited about it. I was worried that I wouldn't be in, I was not necessarily worried, but I was thinking. That because this year is halftime, that
right.
I would somehow lower my involvement in live shows.
To half the time?
To a smaller number.
Sure.
And
any number that's smaller than your regular number.
And it turns out that I have an autonomic reflex.
Hmm.
Similar to breathing or blinking or my heart beating, that just accepts show requests while I'm not paying attention to it.
Mm-hmm.
And, so I'm in 8.
Wow.
Shows of...
We only have, 26 or 27 shows happening.
Yes.
Ha.
Yes.
Ha.
And this year... I have decided in my finite wisdom to produce one. So Kyle and I are renowned for knowing most jokes. We don't know all, like every joke ever written, we don't know. But we do know more than is healthy for any person. And rather than just do a show about the two of us, we've decided to give other people the opportunity to display their knowledge of jokes. So we are playing Jeopardy, but we're playing Jeopardy with classic jokes. This is based on a game that Fudd, artistic director of the entertainment director of the Renaissance Festival, was talking to us about this, and he said, "Yeah, a long time ago we used to play a game where we would." By the way, for those listening, I just lost. We would play a game where we would walk up and only tell each other the punchlines to jokes. And so that's in true Jeopardy fashion. Most of these categories are going to be punchline first, and the contestants will tell us the setup. So we're looking forward to it. Also, in true comedy professional style, rather than it being, you know, $200, $800, something like that, it's going to be, you know, 200 cents. Because it's...
Sure.
Mostly in exposure is really...
Yeah.
You're going to get naked, too?
That makes sense.
Yeah.
I'm doing the big grin.
Yeah. The puppet face, yeah. All right.
Get out.
All right. I'm going to go refill my drink.
Yeah, we should.
Yeah, I'm going to go take pride in the fact that I made salsa sad.
That person with the car horn is also going to refill their drink, apparently. So, catch you in a few.
All right, we're going to take a break, and then we'll probably talk about Die Laughing more.
It's possible.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast.
Oh, God. What have you done, Salsa?
A man from South Dakota had just had his sixth child and had decided that this was too many. It's too many. It was causing a problem.
I already called shenanigans.
He went to his doctor, and he said, "Doctor, what do I do about all the kids?" And the doctor said, "Well, you can always, you know, there's abstinence." And he said, "Well, that's no." And the doctor said, "Well, we can get you a vasectomy." And he said, "All right, well, what's that like?" And he goes, "Well, we'll buy an M80, right?" And the guy goes, "You're talking about the boys. I don't want to. I think I'm going to get a second opinion." So he drives all the way to Minnesota, goes to the Mayo Clinic, and he goes, "All right, what's a vasectomy?" And they go, "Oh, you know," they pull up a chart, and they're like, "All right, what we'll do on the day of the operation, we're going to shave the boys. We're going to make a little incision here, a little laser pointer points it, and we're just going to clip the vas deferens. We're just going to put little chemical plugs there, seal them off. And then after about a month or two, you're going to..." And he goes, "Oh, that's weird. My doctor was telling me that I should go buy an M80. And he goes, "You're from out of state."
"South Dakota."
And he goes, "Yeah, I'm from South Dakota." And he goes, "Yeah, just get yourself an M80. Couple black cats or whatever, you know, just you know, some low grade fireworks, and What I'll need you to do is hold it in your right hand. This is very important. Hold it in your right hand. And I want you to count to 20 after you light it. And the guy goes, I don't see. And he's like, no. Just trust me.
Okay.
So, he goes over to Mark Lazarczyk's firework stand, picks up, an M80 and some other stuff, celebration stuff. And he grabs the firecracker in his hand and he lights it off. And he starts counting. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Oh, shit. 6, 7, 8.
Oh my God.
You had to tell a visual joke on an audio podcast.
The only way I know how, Salsa. I'm James.
I'm Jenna.
Also, I call absolute shenanigans. No South Dakotan is going to stop at six kids.
Six kids.
I grew up in South Dakota. I am the fifth of six kids. No. Our neighbors had 9. No.
They had to have one more just to make sure that Salsa was a fluke, and then they were satisfied.
My younger sister is absolutely an oopsie.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I was an accident. My daughter was an accident. Some of the best people are accidents. I mean, not you, Salsa, but
oh, no.
Some of
That's
us.
That's because I'm not an accident.
Oh.
Well, that's the exception that proves the rule.
They wanted more kids, and then they saw me and went, nope, we're done here.
Oh, I guess
so. Which is why my sister was the oopsie.
Okay. We've been wrong before.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Sigh. So, Dialectic's coming up.
Yeah, it is. Oh, my goodness.
All right.
It's also, it's like a month away, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah, absolutely. It always, like, every single year, we, because, for those that don't know, we have been doing Die Laughing planning since last year, and Jenna since even before then. So,
yeah,
we're literally doing this for 4 or 5 months, and so by the time it comes... It's been months away for so long that it just continues to be months away in my head until
right.
It suddenly is, holy shit, it's there,
Yeah.
Every year that we get to like the week before and I suddenly go, oh shit, it's next weekend. I need to like request Monday off from work.
Yep. I actually requested this entire week off.
I took
that does not mean that I'm available all day every day, but I did request the entire week off.
Should request Monday off.
Say, wait a minute. Does that mean you're available all day every day?
No.
Oh, we'll see about that. Anyway, shouldn't have told me. I took Wednesday through next Tuesday off.
Nice.
That's a good idea.
Then I've got a couple of days leading up and a couple of days after.
My darling Andrea was like, you're doing this again. And how many shows are you in this year? And I was like, 8, maybe more. I was almost in 9. And Meredith said, not while you're hosting. Yeah. So there's that. I was like, but it's different. It's different. I'll be sleeping in my own bed. I'll be eating my own food. I'll be...
drinking my own wine.
Yeah. Right. So it's somehow better. Right? And she was like, begrudgingly fine. Yeah. Right.
So what shows are you in, James?
Okay, so I...
Wait, pause. First, quiz. Yeah. List them all. Just list all of them right off the top of your head.
I'm hosting, which doesn't count. That's not one of the 8 shows.
Okay.
But I'm hosting I'm the backup host between 7 and 8:30 opening night, and then between 8:30 and 10, 11. And then I am in ASMR comedy.
Okay.
Worst comedy show ever.
Okay.
Vilification Tennis.
Awesome.
Assassins Anonymous.
Yes, I'm excited for that.
Tales from the Premise Land.
Okay. Sure.
That's five of the eight. I think I already said Vilification Tennis, right?
Yep. Yeah,
okay.
You did.
So, oh, Joke Purdy that Kyle and I are putting on.
Yeah, I was about to say you're a producer for one.
Instead of erotic fan fiction, it's platonic fan fiction, and I'm very excited about that.
I'm so excited.
And then number eight is a show.
Are you doing ASMR this year?
I already said that one.
Okay.
Yep, I already said that one. But
are you doing any of Tim's the sea shanty?
I'm doing sea shanties. No. Fight. The thing was, I looked at my calendar. I did this year. I looked at my calendar and I was like, I should probably give other people a chance first, and if he asks again, then I'll sign up.
Okay.
Yeah. So I didn't say no, but I did the very Minnesotan, like, put me at the bottom of the list, and if everybody else is, you know, yeah.
Right.
There's that. Now I will look, because I tend to have a very similar, like, oh, I only have a week and a half left, and I'm very panicked about this, but I start doing it about 3 weeks out. I found a calendar app that works like Guitar Hero.
Oh my god.
It goes from closest to today's date to farthest away, and all of your items get stacked.
Oh my god, that's incredible.
Yeah, this thing is fucking awesome. I found this a couple of years ago, and this is how I always handle Die Laughing, and this is one of the reasons I can't leave iPhone, because they don't have this fucking thing for any other platform.
Aww.
But then when you tap on the stack, it expands out, and you'll notice that I have little flags attached to all of the shows that I'm in, and they are color-coded to let me know how prepared I am for that specific show.
It almost looks like Agile Guitar Hero.
Yeah.
It looks kind of like a Kanban board, but just moving forward a little bit with your little user stuff.
One, two,
cards,
three,
and then
four, five.
I'm picking up what you're laying down.
Yeah.
Six, seven, eight.
So, which way to accidentally methodology yourself there, James.
Yeah. Vilification Tennis, worst comedy show ever. Vilification Tennis is counted twice for some reason?
That shouldn't be.
No, it shouldn't. Although, oh, it crosses days.
Sure. Okay.
Seven, eight. No, okay, so that is all of them. All right. I counted the flags. Seven shows and hosting.
Was that it?
Yes.
Okay.
Cool. Okay.
How many shows are you in?
Oh, no, the eighth show was the one that I had to turn down because it's on my hosting shift. That's what it was.
All right.
Okay, that's why I had eight. Our beloved enemy, Eric Thompson, was kind enough to offer me a spot in one of his shows, but it happens to be during my hosting shift, so I told him to pencil me in. It was on this calendar, and now it is not.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And Vilification Tennis appears twice because it starts on Saturday night and Friday night and ends Saturday morning.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So, that.
So, yeah.
So, I have seven instead of eight, and then I have a hosting shift.
Excellent. What shows are you in, Salsa?
None.
He's doing white male privilege dancing, but it's just in his basement by himself.
Pretty much.
That's hilarious.
Mm-hmm. I do that in our bedroom every so often, if you know what I mean.
I don't understand.
I had the perfect, what I felt like was the perfect routine that I dreamed up between years, which was Flight of the Conchords business time.
Okay.
And if you're not familiar with it, it's a song about making love poorly.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. I'll have to find another burlesque opportunity.
Sorry. White male such privilege has run its course.
Yeah, such is life. Yeah.
No, I'm in no shows this year.
So you're just hanging out looking cool?
I'm not even doing that. I'm just hanging out.
Nice.
No, if we didn't have the slots for it, AON would have done their thing and I would have been part of that, but like a lot of the slots filled up with people who had ideas and I really didn't have anything that I didn't have anything that I really wanted to produce this year. Like there was nothing that jumped out at me as like I need to get this idea out there. And other people obviously did, and so I let them have those spots. And then when it came time for people to start looking for acts, a lot of the acts were either already full up or ones that I just wasn't interested in. And I also just kind of not feeling it this year.
Weird.
You know?
Is there anything in particular going on?
Like we're talking about
that would be different from other years.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of what got me excited about Die Laughing was some of the stuff we were talking about, just being there the whole time and you know, as much as we joke about me being, you know, hating all human beings, I really genuinely love most of the Fearless people and seeing them gives me life, and not being able to see them just kind of left me feeling empty a bit. And I just kind of this year was like, I've got my things to do, you know, to
you're still contributing.
I'm still contributing. I'm doing my work to help produce the show. You know, I'm you know, working on getting the video archives page up, and after the event I'll be, you know, still doing video editing and stuff like that. It's not like I'm sitting like a bump on a log not helping at all, but like, when it came to the idea of just getting on, you know, and performing, I just, like, and the idea of performing in front of a camera as opposed to being on a stage, like, that just doesn't... The reason I love performing is because I get to get in front of people and have that feedback and hear their laughter and see their faces. And, you know, like we did the show with the Parks Connection, you know, and it was fun, but it left me feeling empty.
Yeah.
Because the only people that I could see were the other performers.
I
couldn't see the audience. I couldn't hear the audience. I couldn't interact with the audience. For all I know, there was no audience. And I just didn't like it.
Hello, Snark. You probably should assume there was no audience.
Yeah. Oh, no.
That's fair.
Mary Jo Peel was there.
Oh, okay.
And so was Bryn.
She was an audience. She was a cast member. But like,
no, I know. But then you know,
people there for them. Just you know,
like the idea of doing Die Laughing, and just not seeing anybody, and just sitting in my basement, in front of my computer with a headset on, and performing just didn't like it. Really didn't grab me.
I feel like
I'm bringing.
If you wanted to, if you wanted to sit on a video call,
it's going to be really fun
without
and funny,
being able.
But yes, You should go see it. I will be watching it.
Yeah.
But just the idea of performing, just
and you will have been involved, too.
Very much
You're
so.
Doing a huge amount of work leading up to the event.
So.
But yeah, Salsa, if only you had any experience with asynchronous media of any kind, recording, you know, even on video calls and then getting the reactions afterwards.
But this is different. This is different because this is not a comedy show.
No, I know.
This is us.
Clearly.
This is us hanging out with each other. You know, that's what AON has been since day one.
Yeah.
AON fair enough. Has never been about, you know, being a comedy show. AON has always
been
about.
Yeah.
Before we even started, Matt and I were just like, we have funny conversations when we hang out. We should record it and put it out in the world.
Yeah, it
and
was the same thing with the Awfulcopter, where we would often find ourselves saying, like, what were we talking about yesterday? I wish that we'd recorded it. I wish that...
Exactly.
You know,
this podcast is a different beast. This is not me performing, you know, in being funny. This is me hanging out with the two of my best friends in the world. And we just happen to be recording. Die Laughing is not that. Die Laughing
is a different animal.
Performing,
it is a different
beast. And it's, I felt that there was enough people doing enough things that had the spark that I didn't need to be on stage to satiate my own ego about how many shows I can be in. You know, like, I didn't need that. I'm doing what I feel like I can contribute to the best of my abilities, and I'm happy with where I'm at.
I remember doing Fully Believable at my first Die Laughing.
Yeah?
Yeah. It was fucking great.
I need to bring that back at some point. It's a fun really show. Cool. It didn't catch...
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was still looking for its audience, I think.
Right.
And I will also admit that it was rough. Like, the format needed some polish. And I think when we started doing... what was the one where we merged with your friends?
Terms of Disagreement.
Terms of Disagreement. That really smoothed out a lot. I really liked Terms of Disagreement.
Yeah.
I wish Terms of Disagreement had found its audience, because that was a lot more polished. But maybe
I liked how much it felt like a British quiz show. Honestly, which I understand is a gigantic surprise based on your personal interest.
It was. That's literally what I designed it on. Is my. My
you may have British missed my extreme sarcasm.
Anyway,
yeah,
but I am definitely looking forward to a lot of shows this year. You know, some of the things I've seen, like the ASMR Comedy Hour, is going to be back again. Very much looking forward to that one.
It's always so weird. And my entry for this
is bizarre.
I think, possibly my weirdest so far. And I'm deeply excited for Worst Comedy Show, not just for myself, although when I talked to Furstures, the host, about it, he was like, I want to do it. I just want, you know, to know that people are going to have something for it. And I was like, here's my idea for it. And he goes, fuck, I gotta do it. So I'm really excited about the idea that I've had about this. And it's terrible. It really is. Like, that's what I love about Worst Comedy Show.
I'm really looking forward to Worst Comedy Show.
I still remember Eric. Young Eric Thompson. Ha ha ha. That fucking note cards bit.
Yeah.
Holy shit. I lose my cool thinking about that still.
Philip Andrew Bennett-Lowe is doing a show.
Yeah?
On the concept of irony, with no reference to Socrates.
Do we know anybody in that show other than Pablo?
There are two other people in that show other than Pablo, actually. There is Duck Washington will be in that show.
Mm-hmm. Heard of him.
I will be in that show.
Never heard of her.
And my characters are delightful, and I'm so excited for this.
This is also going to be a change, because Jenna is going to be in something at Die Laughing.
Well, I mean, something that I'm not producing or...
The Encyclopedia show is a regular...
Yeah, I'm also going to be in the Encyclopedia show.
Oh, well, shit. All right.
Because in the past couple of years, you've been so busy with everything that you're just like, I'm not doing anything.
That's weird. Yeah. It's almost like this is a gigantic undertaking.
Yeah.
Right. I usually do Encyclopedia show. That's usually an easier thing for me. This is the first time I think I'm doing a show other than Encyclopedia show that I'm not producing.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, technically, I am producing on the Concept of Irony. I'm co-producing it with Pavel because everything is produced by Fearless members this year.
You got to have the name.
Technically, I'm producing this. But if I didn't have to, I'd still be in this one because I love working with Pavel.
Yeah, he's good people.
Oh, he's good people, and he and I pace off of each other really, really well. Mm-hmm. We have kind of that same patter thing going. I loved it. And he's, I don't know if you guys knew this, but I really enjoy crude and offensive off the wall humor.
What?
Kind of.
What are you doing hanging out with me and James?
Yeah, that's weird.
Slumming it.
Well, yeah, there is that. Yeah.
I enjoy that kind of humor, and I know it's not everybody's thing, and that's fine. It doesn't have to be your thing, but I enjoy it. Pavel does a lot of fun intellectual, but still macabre.
Macabre,
there you go. I was like, how do I...
That's my Scottish last name.
He does, and just gross and like not, just no. And I love that shit. Which I should probably talk to my therapist about that, but... but I do.
Your therapist will also be surprised.
No. My therapist
can feign surprise.
I'm really excited to be able to do a show that I'm technically producing but don't actually have to do any prep for. Because this is a show that Pavel has adjusted for use on Zoom before. It's a show that he does at other fringe festivals, and he's adapted it to Zoom, and then for Die Laughing, he's adapted it into a multi-person show. So normally this is just Pavel ranting on his own, which we all know he could do at length forever. But this one, he incorporates more voices into a pre-existing structure that he already had. So he's got some real fun video things that happen with it. There's some audio things like this. We're going high tech, bitches. Please note, high tech on a Zoom call is not very high tech. But it's there. I'm really excited for that. But yeah, I get to do a show that I don't have to. Oh, that is pretty nice, actually. Also, I'm producing a comedy marathon event thing.
Never heard of it.
Also that.
Yeah. The other thing I wanted to mention that I'm excited for is the return of Be Fearless and Dance.
Oh, yeah.
It was not there last year, and I was so torn apart. Like, I was so sad.
We had very few shows last year.
The year before, James, you know what I mean.
God, James, what an asshole.
No, it was last year, because last year I looked at the sheet because we did get submissions. We were go until
I had everything scheduled.
And
yes,
and,
so did
Angela
I.
had forgotten to put in for Be Fearless and Dance, and so it just it wasn't going to be happening in 2020. And I was gutted. I was so sad because I was actually going to be able to do it this year, and then it didn't happen.
Yeah.
And so the fact that it's back is making me very happy.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is
and
always good to have
that opening
event.
Sunday because it has to open Sunday.
Yeah.
It has to.
Pep everybody up.
Yep, you got it. So
nature of the animal. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just and I honestly we've got so many good and wonderful and some ridiculous things. We've got Foul Play is joining us this year.
Fuck yes.
And they make me happy every fucking time. There's, oh God, we've got.
That is some of my favorite people in it.
I think at this point we've probably talked about a good 2/3 of what's happening, over the course of the weekend, but like, it's a really solid event this year. Just full of ridiculous and wonderful. And I'm so happy.
Yeah.
So happy.
And we're actually 25 hours, half of the time, halftime, will be live and taking place this year.
Mm-hmm.
But then the additional 25 and far, far more than just 25 will also be available from the website. In our archive of past year's content. I don't know if you y'all know this, Jenna, this might be a surprise to you, but we've been doing this for a long fucking time.
Have we?
And
you say
a lot of it, to our perpetual shame, has been recorded and put on the interwebs. And we are working to make that available to fill the interstice. So if you, kind listener, feel like you want even more than 25 hours, believe me, it's there. Oh, trust me. We're counting down the hits, and there are many. So, yeah, a lot of people doing a lot of work in order to make all of that possible for you, the viewers at home. But yeah, I was a little weirded out by doing the schedule and not being able to do my usual thing of going like, okay, this is 9 to 10, this is 10 to 12, this is 12 to 1. This is 1 to 2. This is 2 to 2:30. This is 2:33. You know, that kind of thing for the entire event. I had to be like, oh shit, there's a 12-hour gap.
Yeah.
During which, so it is entirely possible to catch the entirety.
That's true.
Of the event live as it happens this year and not having to watch the instant replay. Holy crap.
Yeah.
I had that thought that, you know, even while I'm not participating in things, that I could very literally get a good night's sleep and still watch the whole thing.
The whole event, yeah.
Holy fuck. It's exciting.
It is. It is very exciting.
Yeah.
I am looking forward to it. Do we have any more to say on that, or are we...
Yeah, go check out the product images for the challenges. I'm very proud of them.
On what website?
DieLaughingMarathon.com.
.com.
There we go. You're supposed to do it.
I actually have one more thing to bring up. Ooh. We have a silent auction.
Oh yes.
Hot shit, we do.
Oh shit, we're gonna link.
Due to the way the world is right now, There a lot of the silent auction this year is actually like crafts and things that Peerless members have made, which makes me happy. Mm-hmm. We do also have outside stuff, but a lot of corporations right now are like, I don't know if I can give things. Mm-hmm. So fuck it. We did. And I am excited for... I'm actually going to plug three different items that are in the silent auction right now. One of them is a guest spot to a real shitty podcast. But you also get a t-shirt.
High five, guys.
Stickers. Well played. No. T-shirt, couple of stickers, and a button. So, yeah, there is our annual silent auction item to be a guest of the podcast for Apropos of Nothing. So if that interests you, we can accommodate anyone from anywhere.
Looks like there's one bid.
Is it really?
Yeah.
This is actually something that's very exciting about this year's Die Laughing as well, is that we have fearless members who are far flung now, who live in fucking Seattle and Texas and shit. And being able to have them produce and star in shows that are online is fucking awesome.
It is.
I'm
fantastic.
Very particularly excited for one of our shows where friends from out of state will be participating.
Yes.
Yeah.
I am too. But there's still more silent auction items I want to
sell. Oh, that's true. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's also an item that is absolutely gorgeous from our nemesis, Eric Thompson. Krista Finch. But he's been working in resin lately, and he made a resin egg that has gears floating in it.
Oh, I've seen it, and it is gorgeous.
So pretty, you guys.
Holy shit.
I thought about bidding on it, and I might have to bid on it so that Mav has to bid on it more.
Mm-hmm.
Because really do I get to fuck with Mav in this manner. But, it is pretty good. So,
and how long is the auction running?
It's running, I forget the exact time, but through a good chunk of Sunday, I think we're ending at seven.
Mid afternoon on Sunday is when it ends.
Roughly there. It probably says
7
it on the
p.m.
site.
7 p.m. Central Time, April 11th.
Okay. So, yeah.
Nice.
I was like, I think it was 5 or 7. I couldn't remember for sure. But yeah, cool. And then another item on the silent auction that you might want to check out is a little donation from me.
Things.
I've been talking about doing soap making stuff for a while. And I put together some fun little soaps in the shapes of chess pieces, dominoes, dice, and puzzle pieces. And so I've got a gamer soap gift basket on auction at the silent auction.
Nice.
They are imperfect soaps. They are rebatch soaps. They are fragrance free. Mm-hmm.
That's a huge deal for me because I have pets that are sensitive to odors like that.
Yeah. Yep. These are all fragrance free.
That's fucking awesome.
So, yeah. Or at least no added fragrances, I guess.
Just kind smells of like soap.
Right.
Yeah.
So that is available on auction. If nothing else, listeners, just go take a look at the item because I'm just so goddamn proud of those soaps. I'm so happy with how that turned out. Please note you cannot actually game with the dice. They are not weighted properly, and there is one side missing a number. Just because of how
they are,
and the soap was
purely decorative.
Yeah,
you will roll a natural 20 on your cleanliness check.
Yes.
Do you know what else is purely decorative in the silent auction? A handcrafted item by yours truly.
What?
Ooh.
I have donated a couple pair of sterling silver earrings that I made.
Ooh.
chainmail and tiger's eye bead earrings.
Oh, I do like tiger's eye. Fuck. So. Yeah.
I do not see them on the website, on the auction site yet.
Yep. Matt is adding things to the collection in the next couple days. Mm-hmm.
If you hear this and if you go and look and it's not there yet, go back and look again sometime later, because it will eventually be there.
Honestly, you should go back and look again anyway, because more stuff will be added over the next couple of days. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. Excellent. Yep,
so that's a thing.
Yay! Oh, God. So yeah, we have silent auction. Mm-hmm. Super excited for that.
That's an addition to some of the other really cool, crazy, like, the life-size sandbox. How fucking cool is that?
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
So cool. All
right.
I had picked up, in one of our previous silent auctions, I had picked up the Extreme Sandbox because I noticed all of the fun, gigantic construction equipment that you get to play with. And, so I wanted to get that for my nephew. Because it's real fucking awesome. And it's super sweet of them to donate that to us. And like that, oh man.
Mm-hmm. All right. We should probably take a break now unless somebody else has something else to mention.
The knitting starter. Just really quick. Yeah. Beautiful yarn. All the equipment that you need will be yours, as well as tutelage from an expert knitter who is charming and extremely patient.
Frenemy. Frenemy Brianna Cecile.
Just right.
There's some phone who is a
regular special friend of mine. Yeah, that's fine.
Frenemy.
Cool. All right. All right. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
Hey everybody, you should like us on Facebook, Apropos of Nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast, or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for Apropos of Nothing.
If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
All right. I think I can do this.
Are you back?
Sure.
Good, because we're back. I'm Salsa.
I'm James.
I'm Jenna.
And it's time for a Fast Five.
Oh, Fast Five.
Today's Fast Five comes to us from me.
Oh. Yay. I know that.
Be afraid.
Guy. Yeah.
Be very afraid.
I mean, I'm a little concerned.
I'm mildly alarmed.
Question number one. Early or late?
Early. I'm always early. Unless the question is, which annoys you more? And then the answer is late. Oh my God, does it drive me insane? James, I'm already having flashbacks.
Yes. I am perpetually late to things because I try to overmanage the time. And because whatever my learning disability is, it makes it hard for me to gauge how much time specific things will take. Mm-hmm. So due to hyperfocus, I will remember that the amount of time that passed in me taking a shower or something was less than it actually is. And it makes me a very poor judge of time. So I always set my calendar a little early to be extra sure that I will be there.
You set your calendar early?
Yeah, because it gives me a reminder.
You arrive a day early?
No. So
in my calendar, in my calendar, instead of the event, which actually takes place at 5:30, I will mark it in my calendar as taking place at 5, and then in the notes, I will place the actual time.
I see.
Because otherwise, I'll be like, well, you know, like it takes 20 minutes to get there.
See, that
it's only going to take me 10 minutes
me.
To.
That would yeah. never work for me because the moment
mm-hmm.
I set, so I was like, oh, I'll just set this early so I arrive on time. The moment I do that, everything in my calendar becomes a half hour later than it actually is. Because in my head I go, oh, I'm setting things early. I actually have a half an hour more than it says. And then the things in yeah. my calendar that are on time, I arrive to half an hour late because I assumed I had set them a half hour early.
Well, and I wonder if this ambiguity about time came from my father setting every clock in the fucking house 10 minutes late, or 10 minutes early. He set every clock 10 minutes ahead because he was annoyed that my mother was constantly late to things. The way that I handled this in a previous relationship may have not have been the most
healthy.
Honest. But if we were going to an 8 o'clock show, I would say that it was at 7:30, because then when we were rolling up and parking at 7:40 and 10 minutes walk away, we would get there at 7:50 for an 8 o'clock show, because the person that I was dating did not, very similar to me, did not have any concept of how long it was actually taking to get somewhere. And she was always mad, and maybe I was the asshole. Maybe I'm still the asshole. But if you have someone who is perpetually late, and especially if that person is your fucking self, do what it takes to trick yourself into being on time. I think it helps that I don't always do that, so that, you know, and it's usually for mission critical shit that I set my alarm
right
ahead, that I set my calendar ahead. So I'm going to say I set things early so that I am on time.
So you're saying early. Okay.
I do this thing, you guys, where I put in what time something is in my calendar, mm-hmm. and then I leave with enough time to make it to that thing.
Yeah.
But I also usually leave with enough time to make it way early to that thing, and then I'm just hanging out looking weird. Just like, well...
Which is fine.
Now I have 20 minutes to kill. Good thing I have this pocket computer.
If that happened to me often enough, if I did not repeatedly go, oh, thank God I marked this a half hour early in my calendar, thank God I outsmarted my own dumbass, on a repeated basis, on a more than weekly basis, I think I would stop doing it.
My problem is I know exactly how long things will take me to accomplish, mm-hmm. and so I set it so I will arrive exactly on time, but then unforeseen things come up that throw my schedule off. I know it'll take me exactly 15 minutes to get to work, but if there's a stop sign, or I'm sorry, a stoplight, that slows me down, then it's the fucking stoplight's fault.
But your failure to account for the stop sign
is your failure to plan
how long it takes.
It takes me exactly that long if the stop light is green. That's how long it takes.
So what you're saying is that in your head, you keep only a record of the optimal time.
Exactly. I'm not going to wake up a minute earlier than I have to.
Even the most usual and yes, expected of
yes,
circumstances.
Because okay. I am efficient. Okay. I will find the most efficient.
I don't think that's efficiency.
I wake up at the last possible moment and leave the house with exactly enough time to get there in perfect conditions.
I don't think that's efficiency, and I'm glad that Jenna Young is on this podcast keep you in line.
I'm not saying it's good. I'm not saying it's a good idea. It's terrible.
I love looking at this from a project manager perspective. Mm-mm. Especially one that's worked with developers. So, here is, and look, you guys, I come from a developer background. I understand exactly how this happens.
Mm-hmm.
How long is it going to take you to do this thing? It's going to take me
5 hours.
Yeah, about 4 or 5 hours. I'm like, cool. So when I say, how long is it going to take you to develop this, to develop this section of the code, it's going to take you 5 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Does that include your testing? Does that include if you botch something up along the way? Does that include taking into account variables? Number one, what is the actual effort? The coding might be 4 to 5 hours, but the actual effort that you need to put into it might be more like 7 or 8,
precisely.
Right? And then you say things like, okay, well, I can take that in, say you can take that into account, and it's going to take you 8 hours to complete this thing. So you'll have it for me by tomorrow, except that you won't, because you have other things going on.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you tell me that something is going to take 4 to 5 hours, I estimate that I will get it in 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have to. Because I know.
Yeah.
And if I get it earlier than that, great. But most of the time, that's pretty accurate for mm-hmm. estimations with developers. And I know because I used to do this, and I would forget to take into account things
definitely.
Like testing and integration and all the rest of that, right?
Like stoplights.
Well, no, but again, the thing is,
coming out of fucking nowhere.
Four days out of five, I will be on time. Because that's how long it takes to get there.
That means 20% of the time you are late.
Yeah. That's not my fault.
And it totally is.
I got there on time yesterday. I got there on time the day before. That's how long it takes to get there.
Oh my God.
That is how my brain works. My brain
Jenna,
works.
Jenna, is this what everyday life is like for you?
Greater
I have a headache.
Goddamn saints.
Oh yeah, no, absolutely.
Fuck.
No, but that is how my brain works. My brain goes, this is how long it takes to do this.
The next time that you tease me about backing into a parking space, I don't tease you.
I don't tease you about it. I fucking hate you about it. Because there is no fucking functional reason that you should do that.
I have enumerated
There are laws in some states why you shouldn't do that, James.
There are signs in some places that say, please park this way out. And I do. But other places, there isn't a reason.
Zero good reasons to do it. Zero.
No, there is a greater than zero.
There is a greater than zero reason, but there are zero good reasons. Your bullshit, whatever it
when
is,
you,
that you
oh, okay, all right, yeah,
utter nonsense.
You fail to account
reason.
For red lights.
I don't fail to account for them. I don't fail to account for them
on the roadway.
They are spiting me because yesterday it wasn't
which are
a problem.
Permanent.
Yesterday it wasn't a problem.
I'm trying to figure out how to tell you both that you are both wrong.
Question number two. Coffee or energy drinks?
Plans to be late.
Coffee.
Ah, fuck.
I will use energy drinks for die laughing.
Yep. Yep.
But coffee is my mainstay go-to, and it is because I suffer less of a crash with coffee. Mm-hmm. I can keep more of a main constant.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas with the energy drinks, like that's usually last resort. That's my last go-to.
I am also coffee.
Coffee, I only drink for the taste. Because the amount of caffeine that is in most coffee is not enough.
Well, but also you're... correct me if I'm wrong, but you're ADHD, right?
Yeah, I ordered something. And something's wrong.
Caffeine affects ADHD differently than it affects.
It does. ADHD. It does.
It can actually help, you know, center and focus to a certain amount.
It helps me sleep if I have a low dosage.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So yeah, that's it's. I feel like coffee affects different bodies differently. And that is probably a factor into that for you.
Okay.
Yeah, quite likely.
Question.
Well, and also, like, I got deeply into caffeine as a ute, and so my tolerance has gone way up.
I do the caffings.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's what the Ninja Turtles warned me about.
Question number three. Junk food or health food?
What do I eat more of during Die Laughing?
Actually,
honestly, I just forget to eat during Die Laughing.
Does home cooking count as health food?
I mean,
it's healthier than food.
Healthy food is what I
healthy
wrote down.
Okay. So not health food, but healthy food.
No, I wrote down healthy food as opposed to junk food.
Okay.
Okay, then I'm going to go healthy food.
Okay.
One of the things I love about Joe is that he cooks. And like things like steak and vegetables and whatever can all be pretty healthy if you do it right and with the right amounts and everything else. And I feel like we actually eat pretty healthy.
I think if I had a grill or a stovetop griddle, at the very least, that my steaks would be a decent amount healthier because they would absorb less butter.
Not if you did them the way Joe does.
I mean, probably. If I did them the way that Joe did them, I would be a good cook.
Yeah, and you'd have lots of butter with your steaks.
Yeah, there's a ton of butter in my steaks right now.
Well, there you go then.
Yeah, I suppose. I would say healthy food. I realized last week, just from fatigue and emotional whatnot and everything, that Bryn and I had gotten takeout or fast food way more than we're accustomed to, and that we both felt like absolute shit. And it used to be like that was a daily thing. We would be on our way somewhere and we would stop and get fast food almost every day. And now, like, it doesn't feel good to eat that as often. So I think I have to go with healthy food.
Okay. Question number four. Before you fall asleep, or after you wake up?
I wonder if this is going to be like an exercise question, or if this is going to be like
I was going to say it's probably a shower question, and this is a trick for me because I actually shower after work, but before I do my evening activities. But otherwise, probably before I go to bed, if I don't get to it earlier. I like using the shower as that, okay, I'm done with work. I'm setting all of that aside, and now I'm moving forward with all of this stuff. It's kind of a break in the middle.
Your reset.
But yeah,
your reset moment. Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
Gotcha.
But yeah, sometimes I have to go from one thing to the other, and so then I take my shower before bed. I do not get up in the morning for showers anymore. I've tried. I've failed. It's awful. I'm done.
I like showering as soon as I get up because I get warm very easily, and I usually sweat during the night. I just do. I can't help it. And also, nighttime is often when I'm with my significant other the most, and so significant other activities. The significant other Olympics occur during those opportunities. And so I'll shower in the morning because I've earned it. And also because I'm going to go to work and I don't want to smell like the back end of a rhinoceros. Which, after I've been sweating, is how I smell.
I'm going with before I sleep. Question number 5. Set up or tear down?
I wonder if this is going to be like which one is more brutal or which one has the most camaraderie.
Teardown has the most camaraderie to me. Just because we tend to get a lot of the overall fearless group as opposed to production themselves. Setup is primarily production team. And that's lovely. That's fine. I appreciate it. We get a few spare hands that'll show up and come in and help out too. But like a lot of it is, and I think for me, setup is what I prefer in the overall process for
sure.
Die Laughing, because I like getting things organized and situated and whatever.
Weird. That's completely against your character.
Oh, piss off. So anyway, whereas Teardown is complete chaos, and I do love it. And there is more of that camaraderie stuff, but there also ends up sometimes being a lot of Jenna shouting, and that's not my favorite. Like, no, stop, stop, stop. That goes there. That goes over. Okay, good, good. Whoa, what are you doing? No, no. So, well, and it's because of the chaos, because it's people that, you know, we're all just trying to pitch in. And
we all have our individual ideas.
And sometimes those ideas don't line up with what needs to happen. So
sometimes
yeah.
It's a ramp.
And I love it. Exactly. And I love the feeling of everybody pitching in and helping out at the end
sure.
of the show. It's great. But it does also drive me insane just a little bit. So
fair enough.
Say setup.
Okay. James?
I'm going to say I am not always there for the setup, but I am pretty much always there for the teardown.
So what are you saying?
Teardown.
Okay.
Just by dint of... fair.
I did, but you didn't say it.
Alright, I'm also going teardown. Alright. So, now for the context, and as you may have guessed, these are all Die Laughing questions.
What?
I know, right?
I gasped.
Question number 1, early or late? Do you prefer early morning shows, or performing in early morning shows, or late night shows?
History would tell me that I have been in more early morning shows, because that's when they put the filth.
I was about to say, how are you defining early morning and how are you defining late?
However you want to define it.
Because,
Jenna Young literally defines that.
Podcast time.
I would call podcast early morning.
Yeah.
Okay.
Personally.
Then, yeah, I think I do like that early morning time.
Yeah.
It's so we're all squirrely and it's delightful.
I like the fact that it's squirrely, but it is also exhausting and I'm not a morning person. Whereas I feel like when I'm performing the late night shows, that's when I'm the most alert, the most awake, the most funny, and I feel like I do the best performances late night.
You might feel like that's when you are your funniest, but I will tell you that a partially lucid salsa is pretty fucking funny. Historically speaking.
All right. Question number 2, coffee or energy drink? How do you get through Die Laughing?
Yeah, coffee.
Energy drink.
Coffee for me. All right. Question number 3, junk food or healthy food? Which do you consume more of at Die Laughing?
Junk food. I do.
Yep, junk food for me.
I really
I
don't.
I kind of think it's a 50-50.
Huh.
It is really close, but I think overall I do consume more junk food.
Yeah.
I will say, I think overall I tend to go slightly more towards healthy, but I also think that's in part because hospitality has been providing some pretty healthy options.
Well, there is also that. What do cake pops count as?
Junk food.
Death?
Then probably that.
Cake pops or death? Trick question.
See,
it's the same thing.
I will usually have Chipotle for lunch.
Yeah.
And sometimes I will have like breakfast at Uptown Diner.
Tiffany's. Oh yeah.
Yeah. But I usually get Uptown once or twice.
But that is like three meals over the course of the weekend usually. Like
yeah.
Maybe two lunches and a breakfast. The rest of the time, I'm usually just eating whatever.
Bags of chips and whatever you can put your hands on. Yeah.
I actually don't eat that much during Die Laughing. So, what I do eat tends to be on the healthier side, though.
All right. Before sleep or after you wake up, when do you prefer the Apropos of Nothing podcast? Right before you go to sleep, or immediately upon waking up?
Right before I go to sleep.
Oh, God.
Because if I wake up and do a podcast, then I'm just going to be drunk and useless for a while.
Fuck.
Whereas if it's right before I go to bed, I can do a podcast, get drunk, and then pass out. So
I'm having Malort Vietnam flashbacks.
I think... I've done both, and I've got to say both have their moments, but I think before sleep is really where I came down on this one. Because it's right at the end, we're really squirrely, you're really tired, and you know, you're just looking at the clock going, I can sleep in 5 minutes. Five more minutes.
Yeah. And then, like, after 2019's show, I had, what, like, two more shows to do after that, and I was just poisoned. I was just fucking poisoned. And then went to bed and tried to sleep it off. And then went and did a couple more shows. Yeah, I think just before bed...
Okay.
As much as it can be. Because I'm usually also in the shows that come before that. Because they're often filthy.
Right.
And require people with copious swear words.
All right. Last question. Question number 5. Setup or teardown. Which part of Die Laughing do you like the least? The stress of setup or the exhausted rush of teardown?
Yeah, I probably like teardown least.
I think, yeah. I think I like set up the least, because when it comes to teardown, there is a lot more for me to do. Because with setup, everything has to be very particular. Everything has to be very neat and organized, and everything is, you know, like this there, this there, this there, this there.
Teardown, throw things.
Teardown is like everything in this room has to be bundled up and got the fuck out. Just if you have hands, fill them, carry.
All right,
and that feels a lot better for me. I like being useful.
All right. There is no wrap up to this Fast Five because I wrote them. If you would like to send a Fast Five, please send two emails to salsa@aonpodcast.com. The first one should be the choices, and the second one, repeat those choices, and then give us context. Hey, who's got a shout out?
I have a shout out.
Shout it out.
I'm going to give a shout out to my Die Laughing production team because. And this includes you two, but also includes, Jason Ebstrom, Brandon Cecile, Stefan, I'm trying to think of people that are listeners.
Mav.
Oh God, that guy.
Yeah, Merritt.
Eric.
Your daughter.
Yeah.
My daughter's pretty awesome. Mm-hmm. She's been on the podcast before.
Mm-hmm.
Have we had Josh on?
Josh from the booth?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Josh and Meredith, we should have them on at some point.
Yeah.
Should do.
Abby, Jim,
any
one of these can win the silent auction and be the next guest on Apropos Nothing podcast.
True. But anyway, everybody has put in so much time. We have basically, we're not, because we had time in previous dilappings, because we had done it over the course of time for so long, we were able to build up certain expectations and patterns and knowledge as to what needed to happen when. This year, because it is a different beast, it's a different format, we had to rebuild pretty much everything. Like, we knew we had a better idea of what it needed to look like than we might not have otherwise. But there has been so much rebuilding that happened this year. And during a time when, honestly, because everybody's been locked up for about a year or so now, people are getting frustrated and tired and depressed and, like, all sorts of different things. And finding energy has been tricky for some people. Some people have had just things going on. And through all of that, the production team has pulled together and gotten this done. And I am so thankful to my production team for getting all of that and helping me produce a dilapping this year. So,
James,
I would like to give a shout out to my anime and LAN gaming group, which may, I'm hoping, will include Eric Thompson, curse the French. Because doing remote gaming and remote anime night and things like that has really helped to give me something more to look forward to every week, in addition to this podcast, but something more to look forward to each week. And it's really helpful, especially right now, to have that regular weekly tradition. Yeah.
I am going to give my shout out to BritBox. It is something that my wife and I have held out on getting for far too long. Every time it came up, we always had the same conversation of, do we really need another streaming service? And then we just kind of left it there. And finally, I was just like, it's like $7 a month. Fuck it, I'm doing it. And then we got it. And now I can watch things like Yes Minister and you know, Mock the Week and things like that. And I'm so happy. So, yeah. Aside from Die Laughing, which we all know we're going to plug, is there anything else to plug? James, all your shows, plug them quick. Make the list again. List them.
Pulling those up. So, Friday night, we have the worst comedy show ever, which is from 10:30 to 11:30. Vilification Tennis is from 11:30 until 12:30. Yes, okay. 11:30 to 12:30. The ASMR Comedy Hour is from 1:30 p.m. on Saturday to 3 p.m. I'm having to convert these from military time. And then from 3:30 p.m. to 4:30 p.m. is Joke Purdy. From 5:30 until 7 p.m., Adventures in the Premise Land. And from 7 to 7:30, Assassins Anonymous. And then the following day, Sunday, at 1:30 p.m. to 2:30 p.m., Platonic fan fiction, the PG-13 version of the formerly X-rated erotic fan fiction, will be taking place on Sunday, the 11th. Look forward to seeing that.
All right, you want me to go through all of my shows?
Sure.
Cool. On the concept of irony with no reference to Socrates, at 4:30 p.m. on Saturday the 10th, and then Sunday the 11th at 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m., somewhere in there, I will be performing for the Encyclopedia Show.
Nice.
Yep, that's all I'm doing.
Smart. So,
yeah.
Excited. And I will just say, watch the rest of it, because it's all great. Actually, what you should do is when there isn't a show going on live, you should go to the video archives page on the dielaughingmarathon.com website and watch past years' shenanigans that you may have missed, or that you
thought was which really include salsa.
You may have missed and want to see it, or you went, "Oh, that was really funny. I should see it again." You can
indeed.
It's all there. All right. Any last thoughts?
Yes, I wanted to say bye-bye, love you, bye-bye.
In that case, I would like to say thank you to everybody who listens to this podcast. Thank you so very, very much to myself for writing the Fast Five. On behalf of myself and James and Jenna, eat the fucking cake.
Take it away, salsa.
Cha.
Cha, 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 cha.
Verbal Jazz Fingers.
Verbal Jazz Fingers is the name of my new Led Zeppelin cover band.